Amen. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for every word that you speak today, Father, will come from you. Lord, I pray, Father, it will be more scriptural, not of the worldly, Lord. That every thought, every word, everything that is spoken from my heart, Lord, is from you. Nothing shall be from the flesh. I dedicate entirely my soul, spirit, and body to you, Lord. Use it for your glory this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about prison break. And I didn't know some of them from outside has been following our prison break. And they asked me and called me up, Pastor James, I've received about 4 calls, and personally one person approached me when I was in Srambani. How come you've suspended your messages in the website? And I said, I've got a reason for suspending it for a while. Okay, so we will put it on later. So the prison break, I didn't know what quite a number of people from outside have been watching it and been listening to it. And they are also being molded through this prison break series. So today we are going to speak about anger. Freedom from anger. Freedom from anger, Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says what? Hello? By now all of you must say it. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says what? Upon whom? Okay. Okay. To preach the gospel to a poor. To? Okay. Okay. Amen. Mission today. Homework today. Go back and read it every day 3 times or 4 times. That's the food. Every time you eat in the morning breakfast, afternoon lunch, evening tea, or night dinner, before that you must read this. Because this is the word, the mission, theme of Jesus Christ. If every one of us are Christians, we are believers of Christ, we must know this word very by heart. It's only one verse. It's only one sentence. You don't have to worry about verse 19. Verse 19 is about acceptable year of the Lord. Don't worry about that. Just this mission statement. It must be in our spirit man every day. Amen? So we will always energize ourselves with the spirit. Because we don't have this, our mission team, what Jesus Christ did for us, that is why many times we fail in our life. We do not know what Christ has done for us. We only say, oh, you've redeemed me from the sin. But he's done so many things. Amen? One of it is to break the things that we've been captive of. We've been prisoned in. The sinful life, he's broken that. But he has also broken the habits that we had in our life. One of the habits that we are going to speak about is anger. Anger has never left any man, a woman. You tell me anybody who's not angry. From the child was born, and the child also shows her temper. You don't get the food. Alright? Have you had that? You don't give the ice cream, you'll have screaming, all the action and nothing, rolling around the thing and kicking here, kicking there, until the chairs will fly. Right or not? How many of you had that experience, parents? Don't look at the children now. You also went through the same. Right? What I'm speaking, I would have gone the same. I remember when I was young, probably 3 or 4 years old, I don't get what I want, I'll kick everything else, when probably the chairs flew, everything else flew around me. It's normal we get into tantrums, anger, right? But there are myths about anger. There are myths that anger is a sin. Is that right? Is anger a sin? Praise the Lord. Anger is a sin. So we must get out of the sin. Now I'd like to see what the Bible says about anger. Anger is something that we go into at times in rage. Anger is an emotional and psychological reaction to a real or imagined threat to an individual's well-being. Says one of the greatest theologists. He says that one of the things that why anger is because we are threatened or we are deprived of something in our life that we get angry. When we don't some people don't fall in alignment to your thoughts, you get angry. The first myth is that is anger a sin? If that is the case, then God has sinned. God is without sin. Is that right? But he became angry. He became angry with his chosen people, Israel, that he became so righteous that he says, now I'm going to bring these people, the Babylonians, to come and take you away. Oh, he was angry. Surely he was angry. Numbers. You'll find that. Even in the time of when they were Exodus time, when they were coming out of from exile to back to Israel, God was angry with them. What you have seen now, you don't even appreciate. God became angry. Why are you murmuring? Why are you murmuring? God became angry. Did Jesus Christ become angry? Did he become angry? A few times he became angry, not once, you know. The scripture says a few times. Right? He became angry because first of all, I'll give you the verse. Numbers 32, 13, when he was angry, God was angry with the people because they were not faithful of Israel. In John 3, verse 36, it says, whoever rejects and says no to Jesus Christ has got a wrath of God. Anyone who rejects Jesus Christ and says no to Jesus Christ, when the gospel is preached to a person, he has got a face. Let's look at verse 3. It's our God, angry God. Since we are in his image, we are angry too. Is that an excuse? Amen. Verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So, wrath of God is anger of God. The anger of God shall come upon him, because the gospel was preached and you do not want to accept it. Right? God was angry. Even in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, he was angry with the people. The Pharisees around the people, around Jesus Christ, he was angry with them. Because on that good day, on the Sabbath day, he healed somebody. He did good and they were angry. They were accusing him. He was angry with them. He looked around anger. Mark chapter 11, you will see the occasion where the setting where Jesus Christ enters the temple. And you look at him, he gets angry. Anger came over him. He reacted to the anger. What is that anger reaction? He made something out of his hands. And then did he beat the people? No. He did not beat the people. He just whacked them. In other words, he did not hit the people, but he was just whacking the grounds. He did not hit the people directly. The scripture says it very clearly. Go back and see the original text. He turned the tables around, but he did not hit the people directly. He just made the sound so that people will run away. There are many times in the situation that God became angry. But God's anger is a righteous anger. God's anger is a righteous anger. Why? Because everything that God said, did for people were good things. If a father and a mother does spare the rod when the children are stealing something or doing something naughty, then they're spoiling the child. Father is like that. Father God is like that. He says, if you are doing something which I call you to do and you're going away from it, he'll take the rod. He gets angry with that. Do you follow what I'm saying? God's anger is righteous anger. Right? We talked about love and we talked about so many things else last time. God's anger is righteous anger. He has now chosen the people and bring them close to them. And he is now willing to do things. Even Jesus Christ has come to do something that for the people, so that once and for all, there is no more offering in the temple, but he will be the offering. And after that, no more offering. People will be set free as long as they call the name of Jesus Christ. Earlier, they have to pay. They have to go to the temple and pay. They have to buy all these things. The birds, the lamb, everything they have to slaughter. Now they don't have to. All they have to do is call upon the name of Jesus Christ and repent in the heart and they will be saved. Is he doing something good? So his anger is a righteous anger in any way.
The myth that anger is a sin does not come in here at all. Right? Anger is not a sin. God is clearly saying that. I am anger because of righteousness. If it is for righteousness, you're right. Amen? You can be angry for righteousness. But anger of righteousness should not be extended to what God's righteousness is really good. Because He sees things and He knows the future of yourself. He knows where you are leading to. He knows where you are going to. If the people of the time of Israel were not sent, the Babylonians did not come down, they will continue sinning and sinning and sinning, going away from God and accepting all kind of images into Israel. Do you understand? In order to put a stop that finally, God says, I'm going to send the Babylonians down and they will hit them out. And like a locust, they came and they took up everything else and went off. How does a locust do? You go back and see the scripture. Scripture says that when a locust comes into a place, it does not leave anything. It destroys everything. That's what they did when they came and went. Right? They destroyed everything and went off. The people who were remnants could not even live well because everything was destroyed. So God's anger is, if God allowed that to happen, they would have had big Baal statues, they would be praying, and lesser people will be with God because God allows freedom. Whereas Baal doesn't allow freedom. That is always a captivity. You are captive to that image. You are captive to that belief that this is the only one which will give you life. When God Himself brought them out of bondage, of slavery to light. He brought them out of darkness, brought them out of suffering to light. And He did miracles and signs and wonders which no man, no entire science can ever explain the miracles He has done. Till today, it's mind-boggling for people that even scientists, how did the sea part, the Red Sea part? How was there these people when this bird supposed to fly high, they came low. How is it that something happened early in the morning, they find dew, see white vapor like stand outside there, they have to collect it? Does it happen today? Is there a place in the world you can tell me a scientist can make something and it comes out in the morning, everybody gets together and eats it that day, you don't have to eat, work every day? You don't have to work, you don't have to have a problem, don't have to go invest in the stock market and get every day headaches, heart attacks, blood pressure go up. And then you come back and shout at everybody else. Because the investment is down. Right or not? So for every action that you have done, that you were deprived of, you become angry. But God, He says, I am doing something good for you. I know if I allow this to happen, you will destroy yourself. Okay? So God is, or intention is always good. You tell me a father and a mother who does not say, see the things that God's children say, we encourage them to study. Some of them not good at certain things that we encourage them to study, but they encourage them to study the things they are good at. Is it wrong? Is it wrong for discipline? God is the same. Right? So it is not a sin to be angry. You show me where is it says there's a sin. But there is a verse that says that, do not anger Ephesians what? Anybody knows? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27. Somebody take it out. Verse 26 to 27. Can you please? The NIV version is different and a little bit more simple. Can you read the... Amen. Amen. Praise God. Number one, he says, the King James Version, New King James Version says, do not sin. Anger, do not anger until you sin. Do not allow to sin. Whenever a person is angry, they are not to sin. It is just to say, you can get angry, but don't lead this anger to sin. Why? Because when people are angry, they are led to do things which are not right. When they're angry, they tend to turn their mind off, their wisdom off, and everything else off. That's why the Proverbs, in Proverbs you've got so many sayings, so many writings about anger and wisdom. So much of writing, so much of jewel you can find in Proverbs. So the second thing that people look at is, second myth is anger easily identified? Can anger be identified? How can you identify an anger? Hello? So quiet here. When I start scolding, it's anger. Sometimes it is not necessarily start scolding. I can be so quiet, boycotting all of you. That also can be anger. Body language. It some or other manifests, can be identified. Right? Husband and wife, suddenly something happens. And then, what's happening, darling? Nothing. Darling, shall we go today, have a movie? Today I'm not free. What are you doing today? Reading my newspaper. There are actions that we do, will always manifest. You're not normal. Hello? You become abnormal. Not in the figure, but in action. Okay? If you're abnormal in figure, at least we know, oh, this is really an angry man. But sometimes the anger cannot be found out because the reactions are so cold that we can't even find out what the anger is all about. This is good news that it actually manifests. Otherwise, anger, on the third myth, is can be attended to, can be rectified. Amen? That's a remedy for anger. That's a remedy for anger. When you detect people from screaming and all those things, there must be a reason why they're screaming, they are manifesting, they are they are manifesting their anger. The anger that is that they cannot be satisfied in the things they have got goal. Let's say, for example, I have a goal. I have a benchmark for Brother O'Neill. I said, O'Neill should be like this, like this, like this. And suddenly, if I doesn't fulfill that, I become angry. If you're a manager in your company, you will find that you gave a task to somebody, and the task is supposed to be fulfilled by today. By today evening, 5 o'clock, the office is going to close. You have not received that task you have given, because you're supposed to compile a report and give to your director tomorrow morning. So you have to have extra time for yourself, sit down and go through your entire whatever you have got for the meeting, prepare for the meeting. But you don't get it on time by 5 o'clock. What will happen to you? At 4 o'clock, it didn't come. 4:30 didn't come. 4:45 did not come. What would you do? Anger. In Psalm 18 says, you know, when God is angry, from his nostril will come out all the steam. But God's anger, the steam you can see because it's lightning thunder. But we don't see the steam in ourselves, right? We take out the phone and we scream until the tongue or your voice goes off. That's an anger. Why? You expected something. Somebody did not meet the target of your expectations. Amen? So you can identify what's your anger. And anger can be actually be rectified. Number three is the myth of concerning anger that is most irrational. Anger is very irrational. Anger comes with an individual's goals, values, and expectations are blocked when, I told you just now, when they are blocked, they become self-rageous. They become worth one's attack is on somebody. Anger, the third one myth is that anger goes and attacks somebody else. It reciprocates to the excitement, emotional excitement, and goes on to have something to do with an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You become no longer angry, but now you want to pay back the anger to somebody else. The third stage. Right? First stage, you know you're angry. Second stage, the third stage, now you want to go on to the myth is that you want to become not only rebellious, but you want to hurt someone else. Anger wants to hurt somebody else, right? Anger hurts people, and you go out to anger, or we go out to anger with an attack on somebody else. Say, let's say somebody attacks me and makes me angry. Now I go out and say, no, next time they ask me for prayer, I don't pray. James and Eva, They asked for prayer. They made me angry today. Ow! The worship was not good. Everything was not good. Ow! I'm very angry. Tomorrow I don't want to see him. He calls me 10 times. Pastor, I need a prayer today. Put on the phone. Right? I punish the person for what he has caused anger to me. Right? That's not God's way. I'll talk to you about afterwards. Okay. That's the third one. We have anger. That's the third myth. The fourth myth is anger can be managed. Anger will be managed. The anger is, many people say, oh, when angry person cannot laugh, we must dance according to the anger of the person. No. Anger can be managed. Anger can be managed. Word of God says that. James chapter 1 and 2 says that. Angry person can be managed. There are many verses I can give you afterwards that will help us to even cool down anger. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you also will find anger is a hindrance to the Christian growth. Anger is a hindrance to the Christian growth. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anger, when it's mismanaged, or when it is repressed or expressed in unhealthy or inappropriate ways, it hurts somebody else, and it will, end of the day, hurt you and me. I'm talking to myself too today. I'm not talking to you alone, okay? As I told you, and I went through last night, and I went through again and again the notes, it was enough for me. I have the notes now to run 3-day seminar on anger management. So those of you, I'll go in details on to those who are attending the School of Fire Ministry, so that the School of Fire Ministry, so that I help people, they can be the second liners. What I do, they can also do. Amen? That's the reason why I have the School of Ministry. So that you can do the same thing. You can run a seminar without me. Don't wait for somebody else. Right? So you are able to do it. But when you do a seminar, you correct yourself too. Like, as you know, as I'm reading, as I get more and more, God, somewhat of that, edifies me. Holy Spirit edifies me. James, yesterday you were like this, huh? Dave, yesterday, remember your action was exactly the same what you are speaking today. So edifies me, right? It helps me to grow. So hindrance, it becomes a hindrance for a Christian growth. It's very bad. A Christian should have not have this, so that our love is entirely different. What Jesus taught is entirely different. It's opposite of what we have now. Amen? The first myth is that, number one, understand, it's not a sin. Number two, anger does not lead into sin. Anger should not lead into sin. Number three, anger manifests because you tend to have lacking. Something blocks you in your way, then you become angry. Your goals, your things that you have in your life. Number four, anger can be managed and will be managed if you are willing. Amen? Praise God. The theological approach about how anger can be managed. Number one, I told you I've got so many notes I've got, and I believe it's enough to run a big seminar. I'll give you cross notes so that at least you'll have something today to take home. Number one, the approach is to identify and avoid their pressure points. What is the pressure point? Theologically, the study of theology talks about, you know, you identify the things that will pressure the person, which will cause him or her to anger. What causes me to anger? I realize when I don't see the things of what God wants to do in my life or in the life of a church, I get angry about it. So I must see that I know where is my anger coming from, which angle it comes from, where does it come from, what does it makes me happy that I get angry. I must identify that first. Alright? That's theological. I'll talk to you about spiritual afterwards. Theologically, you find out. Ephesians chapter 4, 27, it states that you should not give the devil a foothold. Just now you read what? Do not give devil a foothold. So if we anger and we know the points, we know that we avoid that so that we don't give devil a foot point. You know why? Who told? Because, you know why? Because when we anger, we retaliate. We do something wrong and devil is happy about it. Ah, I'm happy. Now, oh, James today, how? Oh, took the whip and wept everybody on the church. Wow. He's happy for me to do something which is going to cost the kingdom. The price is the kingdom of God. Price is Jesus Christ. What he taught me, I'm going against it. I'm going against his love. I'm going against his talk of give her a right cheek. Right? I'm going against it. So we must find out the pressure point which actually pressures you to find it. It'll be good to identify. When I sat down and identified a couple of things on myself last night. Right? It's good to find out what are the points, where do you get angry, why did you get angry, on the reason. Then you rationalize, you understand, then you can avoid those kind of things. Amen? Praise God. You can help when you have this kind of problems. You can know, you can ask, tell people, I get angry with this kind of problems. Can you please help me out? Right? You can help me out. The people you interact with. Right? I'll give you some statements which we've got, people have got in our lives. Second theological thing is to refuse to take revenge at any cost. Theological, another Christian way is to refuse to take revenge at any cost. We want to always take revenge. Today the fellow didn't give me, so tomorrow I'm ready now in a hot soup with my boss tomorrow. I go tomorrow, my directors are going to fire me left, right, center. I'm going to take 6:30, no, the materials all are half cooked. I'm going to take it and give it to the board. The board is really, really giving me a fire tomorrow. Right? You'll come out baked or blue-black. Whatever way you come out. But you come out blue-black, what do you do? As I've got blue-black, I'm going to cause blue-black to you. Alright? So that is what we talk about Christian. Christian, we avoid that thing that will cause the kingdom's principles, kingdom's teachings of Christ Jesus. At any point, try avoid trying to give the evil one a foothold. It's important. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. Can somebody read that, please? Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. I'll pick this and after that I'll go to the other notes. So that at least you all... Amen. The method Jesus taught us is one way. Overcome anger from not doing the evil things that people have done to us. Okay? I'll talk about forgiveness afterwards. The third theological of managing an anger is developing more appropriate responses. Responses to anger are learned and therefore can be unlearned. Sometimes there are things that we learned it through our life. There are things that we have seen in our life that, you know, this is how my father behaves. This is how my mother behaves. This is how my teacher behaves. This is how my professor behaves. All that becomes a point in our a reference in our life that we also do the same as what others have done. All right? But you also see some good people who have got the way they react towards a problem is different from the way you and I react to a problem. They might not be Christians. I'm sorry to say this. They might not be Christians. They might have a better way of handling things. Alright? And Christians are supposed to have that quality. We have to have that quality. We must develop a response which is different from the thing. We know the points of pressure. Now we have to develop a response to the pressure points. So develop the response finger. We can unlearn the things that you want. James 1:23. Can somebody read it? It should be a blessing. Quick, somebody. James 1:23. Amen. So you must be a joyful person in a way. In other words, you look at yourself first. Right? That's why Jesus sometimes, you know, the way he did, you know, when you read again and again about the myth that he has done for us, you know, it's really sometimes, you know, the way he handled a prostitute, the way he handled a woman who was caught in adultery, I can give you so many reasons as I speak, and more and more, more I learn. The more I learn, the more the things that reveals to us how Jesus reacted. Why he was quiet. Why he was sitting down and writing. Why he was not saying anything else except for that those who don't have a sin, those who have not committed a sin, cast the first stone. He didn't say cast the second stone. He said cast the first stone. Everything Jesus said was a meaningful one. Right? There are thousands of them. He could have said, cast the stone. But no, he said, cast the first stone. Why? We have to look at ourselves first. Go and look at ourselves in the mirror. Do I have that attitude, attributes of the person outside us that I'm accusing of inside me before I cast that stone? The first stone should be cast on ourselves. Amen? Amen? The first stone is supposed to cast on yourself. Then you can cast the second stone on somebody else. Because first judge yourself before you judge others. Amen? Praise God. Wonderful. Are you with me? Are you yes with me? I am yes, because last night was a churning of the spirit in my spirit man. But God has got a way for our lives. God will change us if we allow us to be changed. Right? We want God to change us. Okay? I will leave this one all for the notes for the... Okay, I've done this. I'll see something which we need to do something. That in our life, we have got to change. You've got to change. All right? That's the way change in our life. How to change in our life? Approach to a Christian approach. How do we change in our life? First of all, let's look at Proverbs 4:17. What does it say? No, sorry, 14:17. Sorry, 14. He who is quick-tempered is acts foolishly. Is that right? A man who is quick-tempered, tempers quickly, will act foolishly. I can give you one example of this man. The example of the man is Moses. The Moses was a man who tempered quickly. He's a temperamental man. He was living in the palace of Pharaoh, and God gave him the place for him to stay so that he can build the kingdom of God, so he can be used in the kingdom of God. But what did he do? He turned around and did, you know, for a simple thing, another Hebrew was being beaten up, not killed, beaten up. If the Hebrew was killed, then he has got all the authority to be angry. But he was just beaten up. As a normal thing, it's norms in the place of a slave drive. A slave is beaten up. It's norm that time. Right? It's norm. So what he could have done is could have gone to the palace and got the guy, called the chief guy, hey look, you should not beat up these guys like this. But in return, what did he do? He became outrageous in anger. You read the word of God, you'll find in Exodus. He became outrageous in anger that he has to kill somebody. Kill the man, the slave driver. He was just listening to the orders of his commander. He's doing his job as a commander. His commander says, you must beat them up until they do the work. Otherwise, I'll beat you up. How many of you say that? How many bosses say that? Right? If you are a number one boss, you know what to do. You'll tell them, look, my friend, if you don't provide this, I will take care of your salary. Your salary next month is out. So this poor guy has got to go and drive the slaves down there. So that's what he was doing. So in return, he didn't have wisdom. What did he do? He foolishly reacted. He killed that man who was a slave driver. Right? He's the last person in the hierarchy. Do you see? If you see a hierarchy, you've got the boss, number one, manager, a supervisor, a leader of, you know, maybe 50 supervisors. And then after that, 50 supervisors out there. And 50 supervisors got sub-supervisors. And then the actual workers out there. This man is the man listening to 3-4 Moses there, and he is just driving the slave. He knows it very well because he's from the palace. He reacted foolishly. Because he reacted foolishly, he had to spend 40 years in a place called nowhere. After 40 years, then only God showed him, come to the back side of the mountain. I want to see you. He didn't see him where normally where he goes. But this time, he comes to the bad side. You know people go. I want to see you. God made an appointment with Moses after 40 years. Now have you learned the lesson? Now I want you to go and bring my people out of the country. Do you understand? He wanted to bring them out earlier, 40 years earlier, but he made a mistake. And God has purposed him to be the deliverer. That's why he placed him in the palace. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when you miss something, God's purpose, you spend more years in the place where you don't like. In loneliness. Foolishness. Anger is most important to the camera. 14, verse 29. 14 verse, quickly, check, take 14, Proverbs 15, Proverbs 16, and keep Proverbs 19:2. Can somebody read it quietly, quickly, loudly and quickly? 14:29. Oh. A great? First one, what do you say? Amen. A patient man has got great understanding. A person who's slow to anger has got wisdom. NIV says so. A patient man who's patient. If Moses was patient, he's slow to anger. Because he's been seeing this day in, day out. Don't tell me only on the day he saw the Hebrews being whipped. He was already 40 years old. At the age of 40, now only he see, wow, his eyes open after 40 years. For 40 years, he was seeing the slaves being driven. So he was not slow to anger. He was quick to anger. He doesn't have the wisdom of God. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Can you take the other one? 15:1. What does make a person be angry? It's a harsh word that makes a person angry. It's the thing that makes the person hurt the person most. Let's say, for example, I will give you, I'm running, please come and attend the seminar. Once I finish this, I'm going to do this, a 3-day seminar where you'll have this anger. This is one of the most important things. There's one ministry called Rafa Ministries, which they have an anger management series for two days they have. You learn this, and I tell you this, we will change. We will change. I include me. All right? All of us change. There are still some remnants somewhere in my life. Right? So we have to change. All of us have to change. So, if you see how God is going to do something in our life, if you see that God's anger, the things that we say something to somebody, anger somebody else. Let's say, for example, you came and told me, "Ah, Pastor, I cannot do this lah. No, you gave me something very different. I think nobody keeps cooperating. I don't want to, I will just throw this. I want to go away lah." That makes me angry. You know what I mean? That makes me angry. Because I trust you, I gave you something and you didn't do it, and you don't come and tell me, no, go off that. That's not right. So next time, don't do that. You know, that makes me angry. That's a harsh word to me. So you must say, "Pastor, I've got a problem. I can't get the cooperation of the people. I don't know what to do." That sounds better. Is that right? Does it sound better? So because you became angry, I became angry. Because I don't like that anger. Do you follow what I mean? I trust you and I give you. Let's say I give Andrew a job here to do. Andrew has been coming here. Okay, Brother Andrew, can you handle this the CCTV? You know, the other day I had a problem with it. It kaput already one day. Right? The other day kaput. So I said, let's look at the CCTV. What's happening? Because somebody broke the light upstairs. I said, I want to know what's happening here. We couldn't get the trace of the TV recordings. So we said, can you do? So if he would have said, Pastor, I tried. Hey, Pastor, this equipment is too old. Throw it away, Pastor. I cannot do it. I want to go away. What will happen? I know that man is IT somewhere better than me. Right? I'm a zero. He knows something. And I trust him and I give him. He goes off. What happens? He comes, "Pastor, this equipment is a bit old already." Right? "Pastor, I don't know what to do with this equipment." You don't need a computer nowadays to have the CCTV. It's all compact. Is it so? I didn't know, lah. Let's go tomorrow and see. So next time we went and saw, there was a compact equipment like this size only. Like a DVD recorder. You plug it inside, everything is there. I didn't know, I was dumb. But somebody has to tell me. If you would have walked that day, I wouldn't know. Hello? Do you see that? So the words that we say make somebody else angry. Right? The words that we use, harsh words we use, becomes angry. Even husband and wife relationship problem is always a harsh word used that makes the relationship dry. Because harsh word I've counseled many people, right? The harsh word is deep inside a person, especially ladies. Especially ladies. No, Pastor. He said this on this day, this time, or 10 years ago. Ajo. I don't even remember yesterday what I said, and today you tell me 10 years ago. Pastor, you prophesied to me that day. No, I don't know. How, when did I, what did I prophesy to you? I don't know. It came to pass, no, Pastor. Is it done? Good luck. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know. What is it? You told me no baby. I got baby already. Oh, I didn't know. And this lady, 10 years ago, one small word is so hard inside, keeps inside. You know what happens? That irritates her every time the husband says something in relation to that. And every time who makes the memory up? The husband is the memory chip. He plugs it on, goes up. Temperature come down. Plug up, go up again, come down again. And it takes 3 days, 4 days for her to come down, you know. It's not a, doing everything she's doing. See this man, he's now already 45 years old, 60 years old right now. Right. Why this anger? Because the wrong word used at the right, wrong time. Amen? If you use the right word, right things will happen. Can you see biblically who are the people who use the wrong word? Moses himself, you go back and see. God called him. I wanted to go and deliver my people in Egypt. And can you take them out from Egypt, please? I've chosen you. Are you a God? Not me, la. I cannot speak, la. Are you a God? I'm not good, la. I stammer, no. Are you God? Not me, la. I'm not worthy, la. You know, how do I go? I'm already 80 years old now, no. How can I go there? I'm old, you know. God became angry. He said, shut up. I give you another person beside you. I don't want to be with you. So God became angry. Because every time God is building him up, he says, no la, no la, I cannot la. So God got angry. Simple. Is that right? So the right word is, God, I don't know how to handle, I need an assistant. Thank you for choosing me, I need an assistant. Very simple. God will say, oh, I am happy, man. At least you recognize your problem. You see, he doesn't want to recognize his problem. Moses was trying to shift away all his problems and say, pass it on, no la, cannot lie, this lie, this lie. All excuses. He could have said, Lord, I cannot do everything by myself. I'm not capable of doing it. I know I need an assistant. Can you give me two or three men with me? See, David was wiser. Go back and read about David. He had five mighty warriors with him. Only five. I think I preached about it last time. Give me five men. Five. Five men who's capable. Five men who's able. Five men who's teachable. And the rest all will take care. We just need five men who's capable, teachable, and able to do things he's been taught. And David won wars with these five men. Go back and read. David won war without him fighting. Five men fought for him. David won the war. Out of the five men, one man could kill thousands of them with only one hand. Because the other hand was a limb hand. And it was not a right hand, it was a left hand. Go back and see the scripture. With one hand, standing at one area, he was able to kill thousands of people around him. That's how the power of God. He's able man. All you have to ask is for assistance. Don't give knowledge. The right word will make you a better person. Can you take 1632. Proverbs 1632. I'll just give you some of it today and I'll give you the rest of later. 1632.
He that
is the word which I always liked was, he who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror in the world, by Napoleon Hill. Have you all seen this? Have you all known this? Those of you who are doing motivational things all? He who conquers himself is the greatest, right? Who can conquer the world. Napoleon Hill wrote in his book, The Law of Success. But I was thinking, wow, Napoleon Hill is so smart until I read the Bible. It's here I saw. He who conquers the spirit conquers the city. So that man changed, modified a little bit and put up there and said, he who conquers himself is can conquer the whole world. The original word is from the Bible. See, if you can conquer yourself, if you can conquer the divine, God given you divine soul of anger, That anger we can conquer. We can conquer the entire city. Amen. If we can conquer, contain, you can contain, you can suppress this anger, you can make this anger turn around to be love, you can conquer this entire city of Kuala Lumpur out of that love, which is changed. Amen. We have to change. Right? Not the world. The world has to borrow words from here, no? To make it. And I had this big poster behind my bed all the time. He who conquers himself. Actually, it was a motivating force in my life, in my success. In my worldly success last time. Even after marriage, I refused to take that one out. Because that was my God-like. He who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror. Right? And God changed that. When I saw this, I said, my Lord, you are greater than this man. Because you taught this word more than earlier than anybody else can teach. See, not knowing the Bible, we become slow in thinking. So wisdom has got to be come from God. Okay? And somebody take this one. 29:22. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife. You see, what happens in anywhere, whether it's church, in your house, in your family, or even in outside in a corporation, you'll find an angry person will make everybody else around the person dance according to the person. Angry person strives out strife. Everybody will serve the person with strife, out of fear. If you're serving in this church because of fear of me, I think you're going to wrong church. You must be striving, not striving. You must doing it with love for God. Amen? Everything we do must be for God. So the angry person will always make people around them dance around. They make strive around. People around them all be striving. And he himself will be striving because the person cannot even have peace in themselves. The anger will haunt them. The anger will haunt them daytime, noontime, nighttime, sleeping time. Morning breakfast, first thing, anger. Lunchtime, anger. Evening tea, if you're having, also anger. At night, dinner time, anger also. At night, when you sleep, also anger. He strives himself or herself. And if you don't correct, it's difficult. Amen? Must correct. And you'll stir up this, and furious person bounds many wrongdoings. The person will go and do wrong things every time. Every decision will be wrong because why you're angry. Trying to cover one pothole, one hole. So you cover this one, you have to cover another one. Anger covers, but it does not, it's not relieved. So the person will continuously do the things that they've been doing all the time. You'll find angry persons, you know, I'd say, we all have got to address it because every one of us, some or other, have got some anger in us. Every one of us have got some anger in us. Why? Defending ourselves, justifying our actions, number one, blaming others for our anger, number three, holding on to an anger. I hold on to the anger. I cleave to the anger. God says, cleave to me, not to the anger. God is God of peace, God of love. Cleave to me, he says, but people cleave to the anger. There are three things that we do every time. And defend ourselves. And we always find. I give you a lot of notes, but I just want to give. I give you 12 points now, okay? 12 points. You must know, in the perspective of your anger, conflict and anger, you must know God is above all that. You can go before God and take away anger. Every time you're angry, hold on and go before God. I've always talked to couples who come here for counseling. See, sometimes anger can be overcome with by saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Countdown. Jesus, Jesus. If it's still there. Jesus, help me. Jesus, Jesus. The focus becomes God and your anger will go down. If you go and see a psychologist, he will tell you, countdown, number 10. 1, 10, 9, 8. You're counting. I don't want any counting numbers. I want Jesus Christ. Because he's the answer to my anger. He's the only one who can calm my anger. The one who calms the sea, the rough sea, the waves, the storms. can come, that uncalmness in our life, that storm that came into us, that storm that rages in us to cause anger. He's the only one who can cause. And you'll find that if you, many of them who've used this successfully, have come out of it slow to anger. They became slow to anger. Not to say they don't go out of anger, slow to anger. They slowly get out of anger. Okay? Call Jesus. 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 If it is 50 times, let it be 50 times. 10 times, again 10 times. Doesn't matter. But as long as you focus on Jesus, Jesus will be good. It'll be good if you can remember the names of God. All the names of God. Right? Yehovah. Jesus. Yeshua. Call the names. So you'll come down somewhere or other. Amen? Praise God. Number one. Number two. Remember, God is bigger than the problem. Unless and until you feel that problem is bigger, you cannot control. Because if you think the problem is bigger than God, you cannot control the problem. But you will always have to remember, God is bigger than the problem. Amen? Act in the opposite spirit. If a person is stingy, be generous to the person. If stinginess becomes anger to you. If somebody is so stingy, every time I spend so much, this fellow is so stingy. One day, so 20 cents, so kira. Right? There was this person yesterday I was with. The anger became so much about money. The husband, wife, the wife said, now pay back even $2. $2 yesterday borrowed from me, you know. That became a big quarrel. They have to come here all the way from another town. The $2 became a problem. Chairs went up everywhere, lights all broke, everything in the house. Children had to go and keep themselves inside the room and cover themselves up. Right? $2 became a problem. Because there was this paying back. Right? Paying back attitude. Suddenly, the wife turned around and said, give me back the $2 you borrowed from yesterday. But I took off from a person I gave you. That became an anger. Right? So now turn back and say, no. You want another $10? I give it to you. But I don't have any more $10. I can't give it to you today. Right? Amen? Stir up something which is opposite of that. The person. If the person is insulting and aggressive, show love. Show love. If he's insulting, just keep quiet and go away. If the person is asking you for return of love, don't just hatred, they hurt you, just pray. Pray for the person and love the person. Pray for the person, love the person. Prayer and love will overcome the hatred. Amen? Amen? Praise God. You go back and read Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye. You read it just now. You read until 38. 48, you'll find an answer for 10 verses. You'll find a lot of answers there. Verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. Do the opposite of what they say. Opposite of what that person wants out of you. Opposite of the things that they spitefully go against. That makes you angry. Do opposite of that. Amen. And the last verse you'll find, it says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. We cannot be perfect as long as Christ comes in. Only then we can. You go back and read also Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. Number 4. Read Proverbs until you know it's backwards. You know, you must really read Proverbs. You know, Proverbs have a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. Jewels there. You meditate upon it. You ask God. Read aloud and read aloud and read aloud. And until you hear what you're reading. Right? Meditation is hearing what you read. We cannot hear. Then we put some wood here and put up here and we read like this. So they'll go back to our ears. We must hear what we are reading. Okay? So it'll be good. That is why when they read in the confinement, when you say meditate and go into a small room and read, its small room is compact. When you read, you can hear it because immediately there is echoes back again to your ears. What you speak, it comes back to your ears. Amen? That is why they go to a small cubicles to pray loudly. It's Proverbs that you can find a lot of things. In Proverbs 22, verse 10, can somebody read that? Proverbs 22, verse 10.
Amen.
Amen. Strife and reproach will cease. Sister Jay, can you read from your NIV? Sister Kim, can you read from your NIV? Sometimes there's a quarrel in the family or something which goes on in an organization. You cast out the person. First you go and see the person privately. Tell them to correct. If they don't want to correct, then cast them out from there. And then the whole strife will be ended in the whole congregation or a group of people. It's important for us to understand. Unless you approach them, they will not correct themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So strive out. The word of God says, I didn't say it. Strive out says it. Take out the mocker. And take out the mocker. The mocker, when he leaves, and automatically there will be no more quarrel. The quarrels will be ended. The insults will be ended. Amen? Study how to say things. Study how to say things. Sometimes the way we say things could be causing anger to others. Right? Brother, can you help me out with I can't really do everything, no? Can you help me out with this worship team? Just be a coordinator for a while. No, just coordinate for me, because at least I know you can do some PR work. I don't have the time. Right? But tomorrow I want you to coordinate everything else. The whole entire coordination of the worship team. How does it sound? Very good? Fantastic. That's really commanding, isn't it? If you don't do, I strive you like that. So the word we use must be right word. Right? Right word. If the right word is not there, then we won't get things right. Right? I've had in these times of seasons, I've seen people use words which are very strong on me. But I've kept quiet. Many of them have come and gone. Some of them are still here. They use strong words, but still, and I still stay. Because no, God says, you stay. The vengeance is mine, not yours. Amen? God will do the things. That's why the words that we use are very important. Very, very important. Study the things that you say, and study the things that whatever is clear must be clear to the person communicating. And that be whatever you say should not matter. Don't go and lie. Don't even muddle things. Never muddle about things. Get together, muddle things. You know, cause aggression. Never to forget speaking to fellow human beings with the way you choose to speak, because they are also human beings. Right? They are also human beings. Right? The manner we speak to them is important. Don't go and cheat. Don't go and say things to cheat people. Lies, especially deception, is not right. Number 6, do not use emotional or forceful language or legal sounding words. Emotional, sometimes we become emotional and we use forceful languages. Avoid that, right? Even in marriages, I find that. Marriages, the forceful word is very, very strong. Because of the forceful word, because you're living together, there must be an understanding of using words which is right. That is why marriages come for almost breaking up and they come to us, or sometimes go to many counselors to be counseled. Because forceful words are something which is not right. We should work together in harmony together each other. The other thing is that do not take legal, especially brethren. If there is a brethren in the family, in the church, or a brethren who knows Christ, before you go to legal remedy, you must actually solve the problem yourself here. Right? Don't accuse the person. I'll take you to court. I'll see you in court tomorrow. Right? That doesn't work with Christ. You must not bring a brethren's case to a non-brethren, non-believer. That's what's happening now in the world. Solve the problems in the world. And I know it was a big case going on in Kuala Lumpur, a church, where they had to take the person to court. And I believe God will take care of everything else. Man, I don't hear them now. Nothing happens now. Go back and check 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Can somebody read? Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous. You are a righteous. You are called to be righteous. So you go not go before law unto before the unrighteous, and not for the saints. And not before the saints. Do you know? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Hello? It's very, very clear what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. New King James Version at 1. Number 7. Do not be too harsh or obsolete. Don't be so harsh. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Just now he's read it, isn't that right? 15:1, Proverbs. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health, promotes love. NIV will say it's love and harmony. Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Be gentle, reasonable, merciful, pure, full of good fruits. Amen. Amen. So we have to have the tongue. You have to use the tongue rightly. Amen. Harsh words out. Act soon and keep it simple, small. Sometimes people get angry with me for not attending to certain things, certain issues, because I pray about the situations and I believe it should not be, should be left to the people. Because if they are Christians, they should solve themselves. Otherwise, you don't teach them. Proverbs 17:14 says this: the beginning of a strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. For this to be the case, you maybe have to undergo a cultural, you have to go to undergo a cultural change. The culture of us is causing strife, causing things. Why I closed down sometimes back was one of the ministries we had in our church, the women's ministry, but 5 years ago I closed it down because there was too much of gossip. Right? Got together and one person say this, oh yeah, the other one Paul Fuhr at it. Another one say, hey, yeah, it's the same. Paul Fuhr some more. And then everybody agreed in agreement. And you know what? Devil is very happy. And that is the cause. Whether you do it in front of me or don't do it, but you are doing against Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? I closed down that ministry because gossiping, when you gossip and say, yala, yola, and every yala, hola, add fuel after fuel. What? No, I bring petrol better than kerosene. Oh, no. You know what, sir? I've got a C4. Better than anything. Cannot see anything else. We can demolish. Look, my friends. We are Christians. Avoid anyone gossips if it's not for a good things. If somebody is sick and comes to pastor, he's a sick person, pastor. We have to sit down and discuss how we can help this person. Pastor, this family here, Lord, going through some problems in their life. They have not much money. Husband is retrenched and the wife is working. They don't tell us because, you know, their church member, they feel embarrassed sometimes. Pastor, I know about it. Can you help? Or you go and sit down and say, hey, get sit down and help. Right? That was for building a person, not destroying a person. Anyone who destroys the body of Christ is answerable to to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is very strict on that. He gave his body for unity, not for destruction. Any manipulation, you're answerable to it. Because the last day, judgment day will come. And we will be answered. I'll be answerable too. If I've been very, you know, trying to have two different standards or three standards, four standards in a church, it's wrong. We should have the same standard for every one of them. Do not see a rich man rich, a poor man come down, despise the person. No. We should have the same standard for every one of them. A poor man sits down, a beggar comes here, still sits in the same chair as we sit. Even though he's a beggar. Right? It doesn't matter who is he. If a prostitute comes down, people despise them, they can still sit in the same chair here. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. So we must stop the strife. Stop the small things. Unless people are confronted with their wrong behaviors, they most likely will not change. That is the reason why I closed down that. I spoke to the people and I closed down that ministry at a time. We should have a culture which is a church culture, not a corporate culture. A corporate culture is to belittle another person, but the church culture is to build one another. Then we have the culture. Then Psalm 23 will work in us. We can go and pray the Psalm 23, all the verses. I'm sorry, I'm radical today. We can pray all the verses and then come to that enemy part. We don't want to sit at the table of the enemy. Right? We can pray all about forgiveness and we don't forgiveness. There's no forgiveness, that's difficult. Be strong and courageous on the basis of God's word, not on man's word. God's word. God's word says that you took, when he says, go forth and go do the things, and surely he will say whatever he says will come to pass. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you forever, wherever you go. Godly courage is important. Any giants come before us can go away before us. Nothing can sue. Godly words are important for our lives. Amen? Amen? I've given you some of it. I pray that we'll have a total revelation of what God can give to us. You know, I can give you some words. Proverbs, you go back and check these words, you know, about overcoming anger. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Go back and read. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's what he directs to the church. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which you can save. Which can save you. Psalm 37, 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to 2 Timothy, verse 2, 23 to 24. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. I'm reading from NIV version. I like this one. I like this word. It's not mentioned in the King James. It says stupid arguments. Sometimes after arguing, then you'll go back and say, what did I argue about today? How stupid I could be arguing about that simple thing. Right? Small thing becomes so big. Right? So I like this word here because it is so stupidity of ourselves sometimes. We argue on simple things, and sometimes we argue about going to eat, you know, sometimes. What do you want to eat? I don't know la today. Anything la. What do you want to eat? Anything la. My son will say, anything la, Papa, you whatever you desire. Hello, when I go and sit down and eat, and he says, every time you take me to your own taste, Tony, don't take me to your place. Now tell me what I want to eat. Anything la. And I become angry. What anything? No. And everybody is quiet after that. And then my second boy, actually, aren't we stupid? Just for a simple thing to eat, also we argue just now. Are we still going for a movie or not? Do you follow what I'm saying? He thinks that I will not take them for a movie because I've already argued just now with them. Angry with them because don't know what to eat. Right? My son is not here so I can talk. Right, so it is sometimes simple thing like that, and after that, for no reason, I lost my temper. Right? Okay, I'm going to park here, you go and eat what you want to eat, I'll sit down here and wait. That's the best choice. Go to the food court and say, you eat whatever you want, come back here, I'll pay. That's up. It's better, isn't it? For simple reason, we go and argue for something. So sometimes we argue things which are not right sometimes. It's so stupid and foolish. Waste of time, waste of energy, waste of our blood pressure.
Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding. We write this now. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Psalm 145, verse 8 to 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Rich in love. Can you underline that if it's your own Bible? Amen. Love prevails. Love can overcome anger. Ephesians 4, 25, 27. Give me 5 minutes more. Is that okay? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And husbands, wives, every husband and wife here, I tell you, before you go to bed, make sure you make your peace. Right? Make your peace. It's important. It's important. What next day morning you don't get up? If one of you don't get up, it goes to me. Every night I have to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me for today. If I don't get up the next day, I'm sure I know something. God knows that he has forgiven me for my sins. Okay? Praise God. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Was it mentioned just now? Romans 12, 19, 21. Proverbs 29, 22. Matthew 5, 22. 1 Timothy 3, 2. Now the overseer must be above a reproach. The husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Temperate person, self-controlled person, respectable person, hospitable person, able to teach. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Titus 1:7. Proverbs 19:19. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. If you rescue one person who's hot-tempered today, tomorrow he'll do the same thing. You have to rescue him again. And day after tomorrow again, he'll do the same thing. He'll rescue him again. So that's not what God wants. Proverbs 21:19. Don't use this as husband-wife, huh? Sometimes they use this when they come and see me. Pastor, you tell me this? No. Better to live in a desert than a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Hello? Please don't use this to your wife. Okay? Titus 2:2. Teach the older man to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and in endurance. The older person, we call them young people in our church. Amen. So we are supposed to have more wisdom. Leviticus 19:17 to 18. Leviticus chapter 19:17 to 18. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, says the Lord. Proverbs 16:32. Colossians 3:21. Psalm 4, verse 4. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So when I do the seminar next time on the fivefold ministries, after I finished it, I'll give you more notes and you'll be all right. See, most important thing, the other day I told you, number one, admit the things that we are wrong. Admission becomes an ego problem in our life. To admit is an ego, pride in our life. If I say sorry to my son, it's okay. If I say sorry to you, it's okay. Because I feel I have to ask that forgiveness. Unless you ask that forgiveness and release forgiveness, you will not fully enjoy the joy of the Lord. It's scriptural. Unless forgiveness is given. Forgiveness is total. It's not partial. Jesus spoke a parable. I think I spoke about it the other day. I want you to go and find out and come and write a small note. Don't go and copy somebody else, okay? Tell me which part of the Bible you find this parable. Right? Parable is full of where? Which Bible does he have got? Which book? Huh? Mark? Some more? There was this, the Lord says, the kingdom of God is like this. There was the rich man who's the king, who's the man who's in a charge of this rich man here. He had a main steward. A steward was a man who was there, who was able, was taking charge of the whole household. That steward owed the master money. I will put it in the Malaysian currency. Is that okay? He owed the master 100,000 ringgit. Right? And the master asked him, hey, it's time, no, your time is due already. Your debenture, you must pay back again. Right? Whatever you have already owed me, you must pay back again now. And he said, master, I've got all this problem. I can't pay you now. Can you give me some more days? The master thought for a while and said, never mind, I forgive you all this. I don't have to pay me back. And he goes off. In other words, he says, I forgive you all of this 100,000 ringgit. Doesn't have to pay a single cent back. Then the steward goes up, James Doss. He goes and sees another person out there, Andrew. Andrew, you owe me 10 ringgit that day. No. It's already 10 months you have not given me. I want to squeeze you and send you down to the pit, the jail. And the master came to know about this. When the steward was called, the James Doss was called. James Doss was asked, I forgive you. The master said, I forgave you 100,000 ringgit and I forgave you all. You don't have to give me back anything. And this little poor man, you've got 10 ringgit, owes you. You did not forgive him 10 ringgit. Now you go into the pit until the day, last day, you pay every penny of that money you owe me. So poor James has got to go. He's no more poor. Right? I want you to understand this. When God forgives, He's the master. He forgives us totally. For all our iniquity. And we have anger because of this unforgiveness in our heart. One of the main reasons the scriptural is when you have unforgiveness in our heart, you tend to anger a lot. When sometimes that you in scripture, I'll cover it later, that sometimes when you have problems, that you sin, that is inheritory, that you always be like this, cut it off from the family line. And walk righteously. Control yourself. Anger could be because of jealousy. Anger could be because of worry that you're facing some problems. You could have anger. You don't know how to speak out the problems you have. You keep to yourself. You can also explode. Anger could be because you are jealous of something, of somebody. Anger could be also because you did not get what you want in your life. Earlier times. Anger could also be because you are oppressed and suppressed and you have this unforgiveness for this person who oppressed you and suppressed you. Could be your family member. Could be a close relative. Could be a close friend. I pray, brothers and sisters, today that we have to break all this today. We have to break it and say, Lord, I want to come before you. I want to come before you and empty myself and say, Lord, I don't want to have anger anymore. Anger is not from you. When you are angry, you're angry for righteousness, not for silly things. You could be angry with me for what I've done before in my life. So sinful I am. Yet you forgave me. Today I want to come before you, present myself to you, Lord, that you will forgive me. And I want to forgive. I want to take the step of walking up to somebody and say, I forgive you. When God called me to become a pastor, it was a difficult time. I've repeated this thing. I want to say this again. it's difficult for me to forgive somebody in my life. It was very difficult. It's always vengeful heart. How could I be vengeful for this person? How could I be vengeful for this person? How could I pay back? I'm standing right in front of you today. I'm testifying. It's the truth. Nothing but the truth. God knows that. How could I make it different? I'm not good at drinking. I even got myself drunk one day, trying to get drunk. And I vomited everything out. And I became clear after that. I cannot drink. Just to spite the person. But that did not work. I forgave the person. But it was not really from my heart, my lips. God says, if you want to, I'm again calling you today to do the ministry of God. If you have unforgiveness in you, I won't use you. You are still not empty. God asked me to go and make an appointment with the person. It was very difficult to face the person. Again. Because one side I had fear. The other side I had so much of anger. But when I tell you this, when I face the person face to face and ask for forgiveness, with embarrassment because it was public place, something left in my from my heart or my chest. As if my ribs were actually bounded by a rubber band, a thick rubber band. You know, your tires, you know the tubes we used last time? I don't know how many of you have experienced. Last time your bicycle tube, your car tubes, they're tubes. Now it's tubeless. The tube, if you bound again somewhere and you hold on, if let us say, for example, you were bitten by a snake, last time what they do is that's the best quickly to get. Bind you with that, tie you around so that the blood does not flow right into your part of your back to your heart. So we use the rubber tubes. And I've had an experience where that was been done in my hand. And after that, after I asked that forgiveness, immediately that rubber band went out of my heart. That tube which was holding me, the rubber, so tight, it went out of my heart. It was difficult to face the person, but I had to face the person because God so told me to do so. God told me to do so. It doesn't matter the person accepts or not, but it's about you. It's not about the other person. It's about you. It's about not about the other person. If God wants to use you and me, God has got to ask for a heart which is clear. Not a heart which has got some filth. Because that filth can accumulate later. You know, if a dustbin, if you see a dustbin, you'll always throw garbage to it. Even if empty, you still throw garbage to it. Is that right? That's how it will be like. If you still look at our heart, still got filth like a dustbin, you'll still accumulate dust and all those dirt. If you throw away the dustbin, things will change. No more garbage bin in our heart. God will do something else in our life. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. Whatever the cause it may be that we are still angry in our life, could be because our childhood time oppressed, suppressed, or even things that was not given to us, which is rightly to be given. Father, could be, Lord, we were jealous that we did not get what we want, or somebody else got what we want. We could be broken, Lord, in our life, could be our marriage, could be our relationships, could be our brotherly love for one another, we could be broken. Or people have betrayed us, whom we have trusted. Whatever reason we are angry, Lord, we want to lay down today before you, Lord. Everything that we have inside us, everything that causes anger inside us, we lay down today, Lord Jesus. Give us that courage. If there's a brother or sister that I have offended, give me the courage, Lord, today to walk right in front of them and ask for that forgiveness and release forgiveness unto the others too. Father, if anger is because of forgiveness, I pray today, Father, you totally want to forgive somebody, Lord. If there is expectation out of another person, Lord, That's why we're angry. We release that expectation, Lord. Lord, all expectation comes from you. You deal with us today, Lord. Remove that anger. Remove the things that is holding on to us. That we will not spend time to learn like you sent Moses for 40 years. Help us, Lord. We give our heart, we give our memory to you, Lord. Remove every memory of hurt. Remove every memory, Father God, people have betrayed. But Lord, you are a magnanimous God. You know the man who is going to betray right in front of you. But you sat and had dinner with him. You did not give him food which was different. But he gave the same food for every of the disciples who were sat beside you, Lord. He did not have a plate which is different from others. You gave the same plate, Lord, to every one of them. When he broke the bread, Lord, it's the same bread that he ate. He did not have an inferior bread. When he drank the cup, Lord, it was the same cup. It was not another cup. Lord, help us to understand what you did at the Last Supper. So that anything that is inside us, which has to die, let it die today, Lord Jesus. We allow you, Lord Jesus, today. Everything, Father, we just got to die so that we won't be angry, that our love will flow out from our heart. We allow you to do it today, Lord. Take hold of our heart. Take hold of our memory. Take hold of our emotions. We surrender the will unto you, Lord. Let your will be done in my life. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.